I'm your host, Sarah Troop, and you're listening to the Cabinet of Curiosities. This week's episode, Walpurgisnacht. As you stand under the darkened sky tonight, you may hear the rushing of bird or bat wing overhead, or the momentary blotting out of a constellation or two as they take flight. On this night, however, those are neither bird nor bat, for tonight the sky is full of witches. The 30th day of April is no ordinary night. Tonight is Walpurgisnacht, Witches Night. For many of us, our ancestors fervently believed in the stereotypical witches of old, legally defined as an individual who voluntarily entered into a pact with the devil, flew on a broomstick, or, according to varied customs and geography, traveled on the backs of goats, wildcats, and rather unfortunate men. A witch's business would be exclusively conducted during the hours when darkness reigned. This business would consist of killing and feasting on children, and in between meals of junior cheeseburgers, tater tots, and baby back ribs, they took a moment or two to desecrate a few Christian symbols. It was unquestionably understood that witches lived among us, ever cunning and watchful. The good Christian, or at least those wishing to appear as such, lived their lives at the mercy of this belief. One must be ever vigilant and abide by the many rules and rituals that helped to safeguard the good men and women of God. Extra care and protections were even more necessary on Walpurgisnacht, a night that belonged to witches. But how did Witches' Night come to be? No one is certain, and the day has been influenced and molded by many countries, cultures, and spiritual beliefs through the centuries. Celts referred to this eve of May as Set Samhain, the opposite of Samhain or Halloween, as April 30th falls exactly 6 months after Samhain. It is believed on these two nights, the veil between the worlds separating the living and the dead, the seen and the unseen, thins, allowing devils, demons, and witches to mingle openly among us as they travel to their meeting places. Many of them will be on their way to the Brocken, the highest mountain peak in the Harz Mountains, surrounded by a deep, dark, and wild forest that is often shrouded in thick mists. May 1st or May Day and All Souls Day, November 1st, are known as cross-quarter days as they roughly fall between the equinox and solstice, a crossroads of the year, as it were. Since the days of ancient Greece, it is Hecate, goddess of witchcraft, who stands guard at the crossroads. There, an unwitting traveler was likely to encounter ghosts and mischievous elementals. Mysterious lights and music witness the celebratory cavorting of witches and other beasties, and even be in danger of permanently losing his shadow. The classic German book for children, The Little Witch, provides a rundown of exactly which witches were among Walpurgisnacht celebrants. Mountain witches, wood witches, mist witches, marsh witches, storm witches, wind witches, flower witches, and herb witches. In many European countries, it is Holda who rules the skies this night as she flies over their spring fields with a horde of unbaptized children. Or the sorceress Walburga, who hides among the newly growing things in the fields, or even inside the grains of wheat themselves. In France, there is Dame Blanche, accompanied by her entourage of cats and owls. This white lady haunts bridges, watery thorn-filled ditches, and smaller waterways. Incur her wrath, and she will push you over a cliff, adorn your flesh with thorns, or simply allow her kitties to devour you. As previously mentioned, there are many springtime festivals that, throughout history, have contributed and influenced Walpurgisnacht. The Romans Floralia, the medieval forest battle waged between King Winter and the May Queen. As dawn approaches, the Queen is triumphant, and human sacrifices were burned. In later years, human-like figures made from straw are thrown to the flames. Such rituals were practiced as a guarantee of wealth, health, and prosperity. To forego them would mean certain doom for you, your family, your livestock, and crops. Livestock were adorned with bouquets of herbs in hopes of repelling mischievous fairy folk. Exits and entryways were protected in a similar vein, sometimes with crosses fashioned from the magical rowan or hawthorn tree. In parts of Eastern Europe, pitchforks of hay are set ablaze and waved about. In Scotland, great bonfires were set in each village, while everyone danced around the fire, commanding the flames to rise high enough to burn the witches flying overhead. A familiar and common practice the world over was noisemaking, to scare away evil spirits, demons, and witches. These practices are still common everywhere, from China with its fireworks, North Americans with our traditional tying of cans to a newly wedded couple's car, to Western Europe with the reveling and banging of pots and pans. These, along with pounding wooden boards on the ground, ringing church bells, and the firing of guns. Home should be protected against witchcraft and deviltry as well. All brooms should be hidden away and locked up on Walpurgisnacht, lest a witch come and take it from you. Of course, never allow a strange woman who knocks on your door in the house. Instead, keep her busy by commanding her to count every blade of grass beyond your doorstep before you grant her entry. My own definition of a witch is a woman who wields wisdom, femininity, strength, and knowledge, all qualities equaling power, a magic in and of itself. This Walpurgisnacht, I ask you to remember, honor, and respect witches and their place in the world, in our imaginations, and most importantly, in ourselves. Special thanks to Steve Troop for his assistance with editing and also writing in this episode. If you'd like to learn more about the subjects featured on the Cabinet of Curiosities, please visit our website at www.cabinetofcuriositiespodcast.com. You can also cozy us to up on Facebook or catch up on our past mischief-making on iTunes. As always, I'm your host, Sarah Troop. Thanks for listening.